Adoption Internet Radio is not endorsed nor associated with any agency. We are simply a family sharing our unique journey to grow our family through the miracle of adoption. We are not professionals, and all comments and discussions are based on our own experiences. For expert advice, please search out an accredited adoption agency in your area. For now, pull up a chair and join the discussion on air. Adoption Internet Radio. Hello, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kim.
Welcome to our second episode of our Adoption Internet Radio. Tonight, we thought of doing something a little different. We're going to fun route and talk about some of our favorite movies that have an adoption theme or adoption within the movie.
Tonight, we're going to start off with one of my favorites, and that's actually Disney's Tarzan. Yes, we're going the kid route first.
Well, of course. I'm upset because that's number five on my list as well. Disney's Tarzan.
But that's not actually my number one, but I thought, you know, well, I'd pick one and just go with it.
Well, I'm going from five to one. You never start off with your most powerful
well,
one.
Well, I know that, but I'm just going random. You know
okay.
me.
So, now, it was, of course, animated.
Yes.
As most Disney movies are. But who did the voices in Tarzan? Do you remember any of those?
No, I know Phil Collins sang most of the songs.
Well, and the songs were a big part of it.
Very much so. So that was, I guess, one of my favorite songs. Well, there's several good songs for adoption in that movie, but we're not talking about songs. And my husband's taking so long to type.
Well, I'm sorry. Oh, wow. It was back in 1999 that came out.
Wow. That was before we ever moved. Before we even really considered adoption.
Yeah. Well, we have Glenn Close.
Adoption.
Is in it. Minnie Driver. Those are two names I know. Tony Goldwyn. I'm not sure who that is. Nigel Hawthorne. So there's some of the names in there. Tony Goldwyn was the one that played Tarzan.
Well, you also have, I mean, you've got so many different Tarzan versions. You've got the Disney version. You have the version from Lord of the Grace or Lord of Greystoke that was done back in, what was that, the late 80s, early 90s?
1984, maybe.
84. Oh, my goodness. So it's Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. And it's got Hunk Ola in it, and I cannot think. Oh, Christopher Lambert, that's it. Oh, and Andy McDowell.
I did not really realize Andy McDowell was in there.
Yeah, doesn't she play Jane? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that one was very, a really good version. What about...
Razor. Sorry, it's the main thing I remember from that episode, that movie.
Razor.
Was him learning to say razor. 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 But then when, I hate to say when we grew up with it, because it wasn't really when we grew up with it, because it was black and white. But they showed it a lot Saturday and Sunday mornings.
On PBS.
Was it PBS?
It was PBS, yes.
Well, they showed the old Tarzan shows with Johnny Weissmuller.
Oh, it was amazing,
What's
amazing.
A great Tarzan.
Yes, well,
he
not
was an
only...
Olympic diver.
Well, you have him adopted by the apes, and then he adopts a boy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got two themes running in the actual TV shows, which I guess they were considered movies back then. But with, and I just completely lost my train of thought. Yay, Kim. Go on.
He adopted the chimp, too, and I can't remember the chimpanzee's name. And I hate that, because... I mean, he was a key character in the show, or at least in the Johnny Weissmuller show, wasn't it? Was it Cheetah? Oh, like, duh.
Wasn't it Cheetah?
It probably was. I mean, he was raised by apes. He doesn't have a lot of words. He had boy and Cheetah. So, I mean, he had to learn Razor in Greystoke.
Right.
But anyway, they're all great movies. I don't know that I've ever seen a Tarzan movie that I've walked away from going... That was total trash.
It's very true. They've done, you know, really well. Majority of them. The one thing that I don't remember, like in the Johnny Weissmuller Tarzans, was I don't remember anything about his ape family. You get it in both sets of Lord of Greystoke, or Greystoke, whatever.
Greystoke.
Oh, excuse me.
That's okay.
And then also the Disney's Tarzan. You get that relationship building. You find out when he's a baby. And it's just, the diaper scene when she first finds him is probably the most hilarious scene.
When they open up the diaper and find the surprise. Any parent or anyone that's been around babies knows the surprise.
Oh, yes. So what's your next one? Since Tarzan was your number five, what's your next one?
My next one is a classic that, if you haven't watched it, I don't know where you've been for the last 80 years. It's the Ten Commandments.
Very true.
Ten Commandments. You have, of course, with it, you have the biblical reference, which has adoption in it when Moses
was adopted by Pharaoh's sister or daughter.
I don't remember.
I think it's sister.
Is it sister? I don't remember. I just knew it was someone in the hierarchy of the Pharaoh that adopted after he was pushed in the river.
Because that was one thing that caused the strife between him, because he was actually, not only was he adopted, but it was his cousin that was fighting Ramses for the throne.
Yeah.
And, you know, who was trying to build the bigger buildings and all that. But yes, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, they should not remake that movie. It cannot be remade.
Well, you have Charlton Heston, Moses, and Yul Brynner.
Oh,
Two great actors.
Okay, and who was Moses' wife? I know you're going to mention her.
I can't remember her name, but there it is. Yvonne DiCarlo.
Because I know you were in love with her.
Oh, my goodness. She played Lily Munster. Mm-hmm. That's where I fell in love with her at, was Lily Munster. I was one of those kids who grew up on the Munsters and the Addams Family. And Lily Munster, oh, my goodness.
Most people don't realize that that's who she was, though.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it. For the longest, it was honestly probably the internet that I was looking up something on the Munsters, where I found out that she was the one that played in the Ten Commandments. And like I said, just floored me.
That is pretty, most people don't put the two and two together, but you listen to their voices and it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
You know, but is there any other underlying themes of adoption in Ten Commandments, or is he the only one that was adopted?
Oh. I think he was the only one adopted.
I couldn't remember if Aaron was adopted or not. I don't think so, but...
I don't think so, but... I don't know. I mean, when you have Moses adopted, I mean, that's a pretty big and powerful story right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it shows even adopted kids. Look at what you grow up and can do. You can do anything. You can set my people free.
Let's not get too much into that. That's another episode later to be.
I'm not going to. I just wanted to
influential people.
Okay, what's your movie?
All right, my next one, I guess, is Wa'ani Mommy, which is a documentary. It actually means it's Chinese for I Love You, Mommy.
And I can't look that up because I'm not sure how to spell it.
Oh, my goodness, honey. Don't ask me to spell it.
Because I don't know any of the actors. Or it's not really an actor, it's a documentary. Yeah.
It's what it is. It follows this family that live in New York. And, oh my goodness, their name's just left me.
Now, they adopt an older child.
Lewinsky. Correct? Faith Lewinsky, yes. She's an older child.
Yeah.
And she's a special needs child. And it follows their journey. Dropped wrists.
And a club foot that was repaired.
Yes.
Yeah. And dropped wrist. Did they ever say what that was? That was the Chinese paperwork.
Right,
mentioned dropped wrist. But I never heard the U.S. doctors give it more official sounding.
What the diagnoses would be here and here.
Yeah.
In the U.S. But I don't know. That probably was on the cutting floor because they were with this family for well over probably a year and a half or more. We'll have this on our website, the actual link to the documentary's page and everything. I do have that with me at the moment. But it's just very moving. I mean, it's when you adopt an older child, I mean, you're taking, it's a little different when you take an infant from everything they know. They adjust much faster. But when you have a child that has an opinion, has a voice, is very set in their routine, very sometimes they don't have the social skills that a family has. They've lived in an orphanage. They've had to struggle and fight for what they have.
Well, and yet, one of the issues in the movie, the voice she has is Chinese.
Right.
She doesn't speak English. I mean, I don't know how old she is. She looks six, five.
She was nine, I think.
Oh, was she nine?
Eight
she
or nine,
old?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. But and 9 years old.
I could be totally wrong. Yeah, she was
speaking, I think it was Cantonese and
Mandarin.
So she spoke two forms of Chinese. No English.
Well, she was blessed. She was with the foster family. And she had a foster sister, and her parents were very good at keeping up with the foster family. They would Skype. There was phone calls.
Yes.
And it showed them, what was it, 18 months later or so, and she had lost her English.
Lost her Chinese.
Chinese, yes, I'm sorry. Lost her Chinese, and I keep saying that, I'm sorry. Lost her Chinese, and they had to bring somebody over to translate for them.
Yeah.
When they did the Skype.
And that's one thing I would commend the parents for. They didn't just say, well, look, this is going to show that she's all American now. We don't want her talking with them anymore. She's our daughter. She needs to get acclimated to the U.S. No, they found a friend that could speak Chinese and translate. That way she could talk to her, I think she called it Guangzhou Mommy and Guangzhou Sister.
Yes.
Because that's the town that they were from, Guangzhou. So that way she could talk to her foster family, even though she lost most of her Chinese words.
And it's very moving, watching their adjustment, watching them get frustrated, not only the parents, but also watching her, watching Faith.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and watching her adjust and acclimate and seeing her grow into the family.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't just watching her speak English and get all of this. She becomes part of the family. I mean, you can see it.
Very much so.
Very easy.
And I apologize to the family if you listen to this, because I probably slaughtered your last name. I do apologize. And one thing, though, that they live in New York. They have great resources in New York along the coast. Those that live in other parts, more rural parts, may have a harder time adopting an older child simply because they have to find someone to help with translations.
Oh, yeah.
To talk to your child.
Like a Montana farm community.
Right.
I'd say Montana. I just know that's one state that happens to be really sparse in population. How easy is it to find someone that can speak Chinese if you get an older child and you're wanting to communicate?
Well, I mean,
it's something to take into account.
Even where we live, we've had friends that have adopted an 8-year-old, and luckily they found someone that, you know, was about 30 minutes away from them that was able to talk on the phone. I remember the mom being so frustrated one night because the child would not get out of the bathtub. And so she had to call the person that was translating for them to tell their son to get out of the bathtub or to quit arguing with her, to get, do something. I can't remember what it was now, but yeah, it was just, but they've transitioned so well, you know, in the family. And what I need mommy is, there was two biological sons.
Yeah.
They had adopted a little girl who just, when they just started talking about adoption again, she wanted to remain the baby. And they talk about that. She wanted a big sister.
Yeah.
So that was one reason they chose an older child.
I forgot about that part. Mm-hmm. I usually walk in, for whatever reason, when it's on, I always find it midway through. So I never get to see the beginning of this show. And we don't own it. We have it.
We have a DVR'd.
Yeah, we have a DVR'd. But you were watching it the other night when I walked in halfway through it again.
Of course. Actually, no, it was closer
story
to the
my
end
life.
Of it.
No, it wasn't. Because she was still speaking full Chinese.
Was she?
When they
okay.
called China. So it was still relatively early. But it they had is. Already been back in the U.S. So.
Right. And there's quite a few different documentaries about adoption from China. And one that I didn't put on my list, which I probably should now, I'm regretting some of my choices, was National Geographic's Lost Girls of China. or Lost Daughters of China. I think it's Lost Girls of China. That came out while we were waiting for our Ladybug number 2. And we were just so excited to watch that. We have that on VHS still. And we really need to get that on DVD. Now, from where we recorded it off of the National Geographic Channel.
Is that the European families that...
No, that's American families.
Okay. Because there's a documentary I've seen where I think it's 3 European families do a birthland tour.
Yeah, this is not. This is them adopting. This is them going back. Several families are adopting for the second or third time. And one of the main families they follow, it's their second adoption. But there are some first-timers.
Okay. I remember that one now.
Excuse me.
Just for whatever reason, that other one came to mind with the European families.
Right.
I have no idea the name of that one.
It's not even in English.
No, it's a lot of subtitled.
Right.
And it might not be European because Europeans speak English for the most part.
Belgium, maybe?
Is it? I'm not for sure.
We had it taped and watched it, but I can't remember what it's called.
And I hate to say, the main reason I remembered that because we watched it and I thought, you know, being in the United States, I've gotten used to Chinese people speaking Chinese and Chinese looking people speaking English.
Yes.
And then we watched this documentary and it's Chinese kids speaking Belgian or whatever country that they were from. I don't remember which one. And I thought, that's just a really unique sound because it's not something I've seen or have come accustomed to, like a Chinese-looking person speaking English or Chinese.
Whether it be with here in the U.S., whether it be someone with a northern accent or have that Californian, not really an accent, or in the South. You know,
like our accent, y'all.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say there are a lot more documentaries, and we'll make sure we post links to those because there's some very moving.
If we can find them, yeah.
Oh, I'll find them, baby. I will. Don't worry about that.
Internet queen here.
Oh, yes.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
Mine, next one, is one Kim, for plenty of reasons, is not real fond of, but it's called Casa de los Babies. It's written by John Sayles, which has written a lot of different movies. Lone Star, Sunshine State, Clan of the Cave Buried did screenplay on it. So, I mean, he's pretty famous.
That explains why one of the actresses is in it.
But it's a movie. Can't just say star because there's so many stars in it. But you have Lily Taylor, Daryl Hannah, Mary Steenburgen, Marcia Gay Harden, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Rita Moreno. I mean, just these tons of great actresses in this movie. But it follows these 6 women that go to Mexico, all with the plans to adopt, and they all stay in the same hotel.
And Rita Moreno is the person that is the... she runs the hotel.
Yes, yeah, she
owns the hotel. And then her uncle or brother-in-law is the lawyer that is helping facilitate the adoptions on the Mexico side. So, you smell anything there?
Yeah. Now, this is not based on any fact. It's not any documentary. He didn't write it based on true facts.
Partial facts. There's always a grain of truth in something.
True. But it's not like if someone wants to adopt from Mexico, let's watch this film so we know what's going to happen.
Right.
Because it's not. But it's these 6 women. And of course, when you adopt it with a group, you form this bond relatively quickly. I mean, I was amazed at how quickly we form bond with our travel groups. And all of these women, the movie follows them around touring Mexico, getting paperwork, problems they're having, and all of these things. And there's one scene where I think it's Daryl Hannah just breaks down and talks about the child that she's lost.
The infertility she's gone through.
I think miscarriages that she's gone through.
I think there was numerous miscarriages.
Yeah. And, I mean, she's such a great actress that you feel it. I mean, it just seems
genuine.
So honest and genuine that part of the movie was really moving for me. It's something that stands out for me on it. Now, the downside of the movie, you have one of the ladies that is just a royal pain in the backside. And I hate to give too much away if you want to watch it, but the owner of the hotel lawyers are getting together and prolonging the process.
It's called profit. It's called, let's
keep them in the hotel so I get more money from them paying to stay in the hotel. Well, as with a lot of things, if you have somebody in your hotel that's screaming, yelling, throwing the biggest fit, you're going to find a way to get that person out of your hotel. So she somehow gets her paperwork moved to the top, amazingly enough.
But it follows this process of these women, and it's infuriating, the corruptness. And from what I've heard, I'm no expert on Mexican adoptions, but from what I've heard, there is a grain of truth in the corruption of it. And we've never tried it. There could be some very good places, but this one shows those that are not at all.
Oh, yeah. But still, looking at it from the lives of the six women adopting and hearing their struggles, seeing their heartache and hope all in the same course, makes this really a good movie.
But it still just pisses me off. Forgive me, but it does. It shows that, you know, just because you're the bigger you-know-what means you're going to get moved forward. It shows the corruptness. It shows the not fairness of their process. Thank you, Lord, that China's not the same way.
No. Well, I mean, you're not camped out in China.
Right.
Waiting on paperwork to get done. The paperwork gets done before you ever go. So that helps out, I'm sure, a lot. So to get you off of your soapbox, what is your next movie, honey?
Oh, not so much of a soapbox, but all right. I guess my next one has to be The Blind Side.
Oh, Blind Side's a good movie.
Very good movie. Talks about, well, you've got several issues with this. You've got older adoption. You've got interracial adoptions. Having to deal, and especially in the South, the prejudice, one scene that really stands out is the scene where she's sitting with her friends, her lady friends. They're having brunch, I think, and one of them says, "Oh, honey, you are just doing such wonders for this child," or something similar to that. And she goes, "Oh, no, he's blessed us 100 times over. If you think we're just, you know, doing this as a charity case, you're so full of it." That's my gist and my take of it. So,
oh yeah.
But I mean, it's also Sandra Bullock, Tim McGraw, is Quentin Aaron. Yeah, he plays Michael. I mean, and just a great, great cast. Forgive our cat's noisiness there. It's just so moving and so touching.
It's based on a true story.
Yes.
Is one of the big things. I mean, you have Michael Orr. Anybody can look him up. Real football player.
Yes.
I mean, in the professional NFL. Now,
this is really... Sorry. Cat almost hit the dust.
A little too long of a place to stretch there, kitty cat. But anyway, he was, for all intents and purposes, homeless. He had a mother, biological mother, but she was she strung out most of the time? Is that what it was? Or just... Was she just in dire straits and not able to care?
I think she was strung out a lot.
I couldn't remember for sure. So he was, I mean, when Sandra Bullock's character found him, he was just walking down the street. Was it in the rain, I think?
Yes, in the rain. It was cold.
Yeah.
And they offered to bring him home.
Give him a place to stay. And he let him sleep on the couch. And
and the most moving scene when they show him to the guest bedroom. And she said, "Would you like to sleep here?" And he goes, "You mean this is mine? For me to sleep in or something like
that?" "I never had one of these." Yes. And she said, "What, a bedroom?"
And he goes, "No, a bed."
"No, a bed, yeah."
Thank you, honey. You saved my honey there. Because it was just kind of drawn a complete blank.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's it's a really moving story. And you said you liked the scene where she said that what he's done for them. I liked it when he was trying to go to college. And the NCAA board was hard-pressed to let him go to the college he wanted to go to.
Right.
Because they're going, well, you have this wealthy family that brought in this good football player and adopted him in the hopes of pushing him to their college, not in the hopes of him going to whatever college to help him out. And he had to fight with that. He went home that day and was just wondering if that's what really happened. And, mm-hmm. of course, looked in on himself and his family now and realized, no. So when he went back and talked to her, he told her, he said, the reason I'm going to this college, my whole family's gone to this college. My dad went to that college. My mom went to that college. So I'm going to that college, too.
Right.
I mean, it's a great scene.
It is. Very good movie. And it also helps you deal with some of those racial issues that sometimes might not necessarily crop up when you do an international adoption as well.
Yeah.
You do have some racial issues, but I don't know why it seems so much harder for some people. Well, talking about the North, I probably is not so much, or even the West Coast, but here in the South, there is so much, it's so much more difficult for families to adopt an African-American child, or even the opposite way, an African-American family adopting either biracial child or a Caucasian child. So, which, as long as that child has a loving family, I don't care if it's a gay couple, a lesbian couple, a mixed race couple, whatever, as long as that child is getting is a loving home, being raised right, and, you know, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a parent or parents, because single parents can love a child just as good as married couples. But as long as they have a loving parent or parents, a safe environment.
Right.
And grow up knowing that they are truly cared for, truly loved.
And wanted.
Then shouldn't matter.
Mm-mm.
I mean, and unfortunately, the South, I hate to say majority, I don't know if it's majority anymore, but there's still a lot of people in the South that still harbor their racist ancestry for whatever reason. And I mean, it's one thing I just don't understand. Anyway, that's a different story.
Yes.
So, is it my turn or your? No, you did Blindside.
Yes, go ahead.
Martian Child is my next one.
Yes. Mine, too.
Is it really?
It was actually going to be my first one.
Really? That was going to be number one for you? Oh, my goodness.
Because it is just one of those absolutely moving movies, and it not only shows that the perspective of the adult, but it also shows the perspective of the child who was in foster care in the United States. Who knows? Do they ever tell his backstory of what he's gone through?
I don't think so. I think just that he's been placed with multiple families. I don't know that I ever go into why he got placed in the foster care program.
I don't think so either, but it's just, it's so moving in the transformation for both the dad and him, you know, and...
Well, now the premise has John Cusack as the prospective adoptive father. And I don't know how he comes across. He's a widower.
Yes, his wife had always wanted to adopt. That was her thing, and that was what he was pursuing.
Oh, is that what it was?
Was he was following her dream because he still loved her so much.
Okay. And he was a science fiction author.
Yes.
Well, he pulls up to, is it an adoption? I'm not sure what is it a daycare facility or what, but it seems like all the kids out there are
foster children are ready for adoption.
Yeah. And this one boy is,
I think it's more like almost like an orphanage or like a I'm so sorry.
A place between foster families?
Right. Like I'd
say halfway house.
Or, well...
Because halfway house always sounds like a person that was strung out on something, and this is their halfway house before they get out.
It's kind of it's a place, a treatment facility, where a child cannot be cared for in a home, and therefore placed in a group home. There's the word we're looking for.
There you go.
And cared for in a group. Because for some odd reason, either behavioral, emotional, that somehow the foster families could not care for this child.
Yeah. Well, he claimed to be from Mars.
Right.
Was the boy's thing. That's the whole title of the movie, Martian Child. Was this boy 8, 9 maybe?
I don't remember.
He was young. Let's look at IMDb, see if it... So a 6-year-old boy.
6-year-old, wow.
Okay. Abandoned and socially rejected, as IMDb states it. But anyway, when John Cusack pulls up to this...
Okay, do you want to give the whole story away?
Well, no, just the beginning where the boy's in a cardboard box outside with a little eye holes or slot where he can look out, and said something about the sun.
He's since allergic he's from to Mars, the sun. Yeah.
The sun was a problem, and he brought... The next day, I think John Cusack comes by and brings like the highest SPF sun factor block that you can give.
Well, it goes through a process of John Cusack's character visiting the group home.
Yeah.
And eventually bringing him home.
On a trial basis.
On a trial basis.
Yeah.
And it just is really, really moving. And we're not going to give the ending away at all because you've got to watch this movie.
Yes, Martian Child. Well, like I said, it's number 2 on my list. It was going to be number 1. If it's that high,
yes,
then it's a must-see for us. So, yeah, definitely go rent it or buy it because it is that good of a show.
Right. Well, you're going to get to do your number 1 first because I'm going to do... I'll do my...
You're
going to
hold
second.
Yours?
Yes.
Okay. My number 1, and the main reason it's my number 1 is because I am such a sci-fi geek and nerd. And I know what you're thinking, but it's not that one.
Okay.
It's Superman, the movie.
Oh, my goodness. I just knew it was Star Wars.
Yes. No, I purposely left Star Wars off because I knew you thought that I would have Star Wars on my list. No, Superman.
And I never thought of Superman.
Well, you have Christopher Reeve. His planet's dying, gets put in a spaceship, boom, comes to planet Earth. And you have the Kents that find him crashed in a field and take him in as their own. And raise him to be the man that saves the planet time and time again.
And my husband knows that I can't stand the Supermans from the 70s and 80s.
The Christopher Reeve
the
Supermans.
The Christopher Reeve Supermans. Now we go back to the TV show.
George Reeve. No relation.
Yes. Loved him. Then you do Lois and Clark from the 90s.
Yeah.
Very good.
What about Superman Returns? Did you like the newest Superman?
I haven't seen it.
I own it.
Well, yeah, that doesn't mean I've seen it. We have children.
Well, any Superman movie has the adoption theme in there.
Well, yes, but my favorite is Smallville. Smallville by far, but it's a TV show.
Yeah, it's a TV show, and we're going movies. TV shows, we might do that some other time.
But
if
you
I could
said
think
Superman.
Of enough TV shows that have adoption.
Oh,
I'm sure there's
lots.
Enough. Yeah. But. No, Superman, I mean, it's, and of course it's cross-reference. You got comic books, books, TV shows, movies. But I grew up with Christopher Reeve being Superman.
Yes.
So that's my number one pick.
And I'm really, really surprised since you're such a Star Wars geek.
I know it.
That you did not do Star Wars at all.
I know it. I purposely left it out because I knew that you would be expecting it.
Wow.
So what is
shocked.
Your number one?
Well, I probably, if I could ever find my other book that I had all the stuff written down in, I probably have a different number one. But I do know this was on the other list. My number one is Juno.
See, I haven't seen Juno.
Juno is just so good. I mean, it's really, you get to see the birth mother side of all this. And to watch her and see how she struggles and to make that decision, what's best for her child, you know, placement with an adoptive family, raising the child herself, you know, just going through the whole thing and also seeing her parents struggle and come to accept the pregnancy and to move forward and to know what's going to be best and respect her wishes. Oh, and I forgot the big one. Abortion. Should she abort this child? Yeah. And it is just so good. And then her finding the adoptive parents and then becoming friends.
Yeah.
And the relationship she forms there. And
I mean, open adoptions work for so many people. I mean, there's so many adoptive families and birth mother that, I mean, those children possibly wouldn't have the family that they have if they chose not to have the open adoption.
Right.
And, I mean, it's right for some people, it's not right. I mean, you find your own fit with that.
Well, for us, you know, we had thought it was not a good fit. And honestly, now, knowing that we will probably never know our children's birth parents, and I may cry.
It's kind of again, sad.
That they will never have that connection. Or more, I mean, it's a very unlikely they will have that connection with their birth family.
Yeah.
And as much as my own insecurities didn't want having that, now I see the importance of having it. Not that, I mean, you know, we're adopting from China again, where our son will not know who his birth parents are. You know, the one thing we can say is that, you know, we assume someone in your birth family loved you enough to place you somewhere where you would be safe and found very quickly.
Yes.
You know, and just going on that assumption, some people are lucky enough to get a note, some are not. You know, who knows? We know our children were placed in very well populated places where people are frequent often.
Yeah.
But they won't have that connection. I mean, if we had adopted domestically and done a closed adoption, there still would possibly have that information there.
Yeah,
because to be able to find that connection
more easily.
Birth mother
could put information in a file if, when the child grows up and becomes an adult and wants to search,
right,
there is quite possibly a file that they could look at. For Chinese children, there's no file for them to even go to.
No.
To find biological parents.
And forgive me if I'm repeating myself again, but in China, it's illegal to place a child for adoption.
Yes.
So their adoption plan is to actually abandon the children.
Yeah, in a well-populated place, like you said.
Bus stops, police station doors.
Markets, trains.
Parks.
Yeah.
Roadsides. There have been some children that have been found at, like, because it's so
rural,
Southern coming back out again, areas that they know that where the well-traveled roads are.
Yeah.
And they'll put them near an intersection in a very well-traveled section so they know their child is found. Some children are actually placed in the orphanage doors, or if it's a special needs child, placed at the hospitals. There's just so many places that children have been found. Oh, mosques, temples, Buddhist temples.
Yeah.
Just so many different places that they can be found easily.
I mean, it's always where there's lots of people,
right,
that are going to be there. I mean, they're never, like, left in a field.
Rarely,
yeah. But majority of them are left to be found, so.
Yes.
And that's always a good thing. But yeah, of all the movies we listed, Juno is one of the rare ones that shows a lot of the birth mother.
Yes.
I mean, Ten Commandments, kind of.
But it doesn't. She's brought in to nurse her own son.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, it just.
I mean, Clark Kent's mom, she knew she had to send him off. You got to see her sending him off planet. Yeah, it's a science fiction, but yeah, I'm stretching. Because that's my number one pick. I have to go.
I know, but it doesn't show the struggles and the thought process and how she comes to decide that, yes, this child, she wants this child to live.
Yeah.
And that she cannot parent this child at this time.
Well, I mean, even though it's a fictional story, it's more based in reality.
Right.
As Superman, obviously not.
But it's my number one out of my most recent list of movies. So I really think that, you know, it's a must see. But we will definitely make sure that we put all of this information on our blog, which is...
Well, hang on. I'm not ready for that yet.
Oh, come on. Are we not done?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me. What are we doing then?
I had some honorable mentions I wanted to put out there.
Okay. Just Star
for the
Wars.
Fun of it. Yes, Star Wars. Honorable mention. Annie.
Oh, yes.
Annie, the classic from the 70s with...
Actually, it was in the 80s, sweetheart.
Was it the 80s? Well, yes. It has my girlfriend in it, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes. It was the 80s. Actually, it does not have Jamie Lee Curtis in it. Look it up on IMDb.
I will look it
does
up.
Not have... It has Carol Burnett in it.
Oh, Carol Burnett. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm sorry.
Carol Burnett. And, oh, who was the bald man...
Albert Finney?
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry is
yes.
in it.
Yes. He plays Daddy Warbucks. Who plays him? I thought it was somebody much more...
Someone you would recognize the name
yes.
a little better?
I
Bernadette
did.
Peters. I forgot she was in it.
Yes.
Anyway.
Okay.
Stuart Little.
Yes.
Was one I looked at. Harry Potter.
Oh, yes. I thought about that a while ago.
Snow Dogs.
Snow Dogs.
You don't remember Snow Dogs?
No, I don't think I watched Snow Dogs.
Oh, my goodness. Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
Was in it. And his, his mother passed away? And he's a dentist, left him a team of sled dogs in Alaska.
Okay.
Well, he goes up to just take care of all this and finds this crotchety old guy, James Coburn, that's wanting to give him next to nothing because they're championship snow dogs, and he's just ready to get out of it, and then decides to find out what his, I think it was his mother up there, found in all this. Well, comes to find out James Coburn, I think, is his actual biological father. But it was a cute movie. I think it's a Disney show. The kids liked it.
Okay.
So I had to put that on there. A Family Thing.
Yes. That is with James Earl Jones, isn't it?
Yes. And Robert Duvall.
Where they find out they're brothers.
Yes.
In the South.
And James Earl Jones knew it from the get-go.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. It was okay. Robert Duvall that had no idea. He didn't find out until it was, I think, on his mom's deathbed.
Okay.
His father's already died. Mom's on her deathbed and tells him her secret that he has a brother.
Okay.
And like I said, so he didn't know it until way back then, but James Earl Jones knew it from the get-go. And it's James Earl Jones, Darth
right.
Vader. You can't go wrong with that. Anyway, that's about all my honorable mentions, so we can jump forward to the next thing, which was...
Goodbye!
No, not goodbye.
Oh, not goodbye?
Our website.
Oh, yes, that may be important. All right.
You can go to our website at adoptioninternetradio.blogspot.com. You can email us at ouradoptioninternetradio@yahoo.com.
And also, please remember that we are doing this in order to help raise, as a fundraiser, to help pay for the adoption expenses to bring our son home.
And all that information can be found on our website.
Yes. We have a chip in. Anything that we raise over what we need will be donated to some foundation that supports orphanages in China or maybe even Smile Train or somewhere.
Something that helps out
yes.
Orphan children in China is what we're looking for. Anything that exceeds our costs, because... As we said the first episode, we're not doing this to make money. We're doing this as a fundraiser
yes.
only. And if you happen to like the show, you can go to us on iTunes and rate us. Because a higher rating puts us higher on the list when someone looks for adoption in iTunes. And that means more listeners.
And we would appreciate it if you enjoy our show, to share it with your friends and family and other people that might be interested in adopting from China. Thank you so much for listening to our episode 2, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Have a blessed day.
And go out and rent some of these movies.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.